You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Ah, the season is upon us. Christmas is coming with all its peace and goodwill. Perhaps you're already hearing the strains of that angelic carol, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And how this idyllic season calls us to Christ, He who is the Prince of Peace, He who brings harmony, He who makes us all one big happy family. Oh, what a welcome time of tranquility December is going to be. I trust you could tell I was talking with tongue-in-cheek. The season that I just sketched exists on Christmas cards and commercials, but not in most modern lives. For most of us, December can be a dreaded time. Instead of tranquility, there's anxiety about all that needs to be done. Instead of goodwill, tempers are on edge. Instead of peace, there's a battle on almost every front. Indeed, Pearl Harbor Day sometimes seems more characteristic of this season than does the birth of Jesus Christ, who really is the Prince of Peace. And He wants to be your Prince of Peace, especially in your pre-Christmas battles. Now is an opportune time for you and your family to sit down and get control of the situation. We're still early enough in this month of December for you to arrange your schedules so that God has ample opportunity to bless you in the coming weeks. After all, that's what this Christmas season should be about. God's Christ bringing you peace in a season our society has made chaotic. God wants this to be a time of peace for you, for the Savior sent by the Father that first Christmas really is intended to be your Prince of Peace. Why? Why should the chaos of December rob you of Christ's abiding peace? The world isn't going to change its habits for the sake of the Prince of Peace, but you and your family can. You can, and you should, distance yourself enough from the world's busyness so that you'll be well prepared to sing, "Hail to the Heavenly Prince of Peace." So I sincerely hope that you'll sit down to discuss this coming month. Your discussion should be approached as a council of war. That's what we're talking about, a council of war. We Christians are entering a month of combat. Your schedule, your emotions, your mind, it's all going to be a spiritual Pearl Harbor. It's going to be people who know that the coming of Christ is the pivotal event in world history versus the people who think that Christ and Bethlehem and shepherds and wise men are as much mythology as Santa Claus and Rudolph. People who live by faith versus people who live by cash register receipts, parties, and opulence. People who believe that God sent Jesus to rescue us from sin and hell versus people who won't admit the damning nature of their own sin. It's the people of God in Christ against the devil and his troops. St. Paul told the Christians of the pagan city of Ephesus to let the Lord and His mighty power make you strong. Put on God's whole armor so that you may be able to stand against the tricky ways of the devil. Because we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the powers, against the authorities, against the rulers of this dark world, against the evil spirits that are in the heavens. For this reason, take up God's whole armor, so that you may be able to resist when things are at their worst, and after you have done everything, to hold your ground. Oh, yes, indeed. The manger wars are here. These manger wars started long, long ago in the Garden of Eden. God had created Adam and Eve and placed them in a perfect world. Everyone yearns at Christmas time for a world of perfect peace and tranquility. Adam and Eve had that. That was the kind of world that God, their Creator, gave them. That life of perfect peace had only one string attached to it. God told Adam and Eve, "Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Only one string attached, and Adam and Eve tampered with it, and the world came apart. Genesis chapter 3 tells how it happened. The serpent tempted Eve by casting doubt on God's command. The serpent said, "You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, they ate, their eyes were opened, and Adam and Eve, who had known only good, now became very well acquainted with evil. The war had begun. Satan had dealt God's good creation a serious blow. But God came to the scene. He searched for Adam and Eve. God drew from them a confession of their disobedience, but then he moved quickly to assure them of his favor. Adam and Eve didn't die immediately. In time, yes, for their sin had brought death into the world, but they didn't die immediately. God gave them ample time for lives of repentance. That repentance was not simply confessing their sin. Now, that's only the half of it. The other half of Adam and Eve's repentance, and of our own lives of repentance this December, is faith in God's promise of salvation. God gave to Adam and Eve the promise of salvation. He did it with these words, words directed straight to his satanic enemy. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Those words were God's counterattack to Satan's aggression. He promised to rescue humanity. The manger wars were in full swing. It's a great confrontation between God and Satan. You'll be involved in quite a few skirmishes of the manger war this December. I'm not speaking now about court cases over religious displays in public places. The manger wars begun in Eden are present in your daily life. In all the busyness of the coming weeks, you'll be tempted to relegate God and the life of repentance to some future time. Your strategy for battle should be a simple one. That strategy is to give God opportunity, now in December, to bring the victory of the Prince of Peace into your life. Why not let God bring that victory into your life? After all, the outcome of the manger wars has been decided. The situation this December is not like Pearl Harbor in 1941, when no one knew what the outcome of the war would be. The final outcome of the manger wars is known. God conquers. The life, the peace, the tranquility, the blessings that had been standard daily fare in the Garden of Eden will be restored to God's people through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise God made in the Garden of Eden. Remember, God told the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." The seed, or the descendant of the woman, is Jesus Christ. That child in the manger was opposed by so many people. King Herod opposed him, so much so that he had all the male babies in Bethlehem under 2 years old murdered. Aged Simeon, holding the baby Jesus in his arms, told Mary that her heart would be pierced by grief because of what would come to her son. The self-righteous people of the day opposed Christ's coming. When he told the people of Nazareth that they had no special claim on God's favor, they tried to kill him. But of all opponents, the most serious was the devil himself. When Satan and Jesus met on the Mount of Temptation, the enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman was quite obvious. 3 times Satan twisted Scripture in an effort to conquer Christ, the same tactic he had used so successfully with Eve. But the seed of the woman was not to be conquered. no temptation turned this prince from his goal of victory. The war was finally to be decided upon the cross. There the forces of evil inflicted death upon Christ. It was a mortal blow. It appeared that the manger war had been won by Satan. God, however, had promised deliverance to Adam and Eve. God has promised the same to you. So since his Son had never given in to a single temptation of the enemy, since Christ suffered for all the times you and I have given in, God raised him from the dead. Although Jesus had been bruised, his death and resurrection crushed the head of the serpent. The outcome of the manger war was then decided. Through Christ, we have the victory. Remember that. When you sit down to plan your strategy for getting the greatest blessing out of the coming weeks, the outcome has been decided. As I said, it's not like Pearl Harbor. On the night of December 7th, no one knew for sure what the outcome of the war would be. We know the outcome. He who came to the manger has conquered. The skirmishes you will experience in the coming months are opportunities for the victory of the Prince of Peace to become more and more a part of your life. Our situation is somewhat analogous to the Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812, or I should say after the War of 1812. That war was fought between Great Britain and the United States. That war came to an end on the 24th of December in 1814, when both combatants signed a peace treaty in Belgium. 2 weeks later, on January 8th, 1815, American forces won the Battle of New Orleans. They hadn't heard that a peace treaty had been signed. Christ has won the victory over Satan. Unlike the Battle of New Orleans, you know about the victory as you go into the skirmishes of this December. The skirmishes you will fight in the coming weeks are battles that follow the great victory of the Prince of Peace. The manger wars of December are times when you and your family can bring home the peace, the tranquility, and the blessings of God's victory over evil. Since the Prince of Peace has won the war, wouldn't it be a great shame for you to lose the skirmishes of the coming weeks? Sometimes that happens, though, with us Christians in Christmas. We get so busy with decorations, parties, cards, shopping, and the like. All of this is in addition to our regular work and household duties. It's happened to me, and perhaps to you, that we're so busy we miss the victory of this season. More than once it's happened that a day or two or three after Christmas Day, I'd finally sit down in the living room in front of the Christmas tree. I sit and I stare with the sad realization that I missed this Christmas. I was so busy doing things, so busy fulfilling other people's expectations of me, so busy being busy. I was so busy that I hadn't spent time in devotion. I hadn't sat quietly to listen to the music of the season, to listen with devout attention to the story of my Savior's birth. I hadn't leaned back, kicked off my shoes, said no to other people so that I could spend some quiet evenings with my family. Well, that's enough of my confessions. I've missed Christmas more than once in my life, and I suspect you have too. It's just so easy to lose the skirmishes of December. And what a shame, since the Prince of Peace has won the manger war. Friends, you don't have to be battered by this season. God looked with favor upon Adam and Eve with a promise of a Savior. The Son of God, laid in a manger by his virgin mother, conquered Satan. In the stories and devotions of December, God gives you victory in your efforts to draw closer to the manger and away from the godless occupations of this world. Satan has been conquered, though he's not yet bound. Peter says, "Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." The devil would like to claim you this month. He'd like you to be so busy that you don't take time to sit and meditate upon God's coming in Christ. But Peter says, be strong in your faith and resist him. St. Paul told the Ephesians, take your stand then, having truth as a belt fastened around your waist, having righteousness cover you as a breastplate, and having eagerness for the gospel of peace tied to your feet as sandals. Beside all these, take faith as the shield with which you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can do it. You really can. You can win the skirmishes of December, and you can receive magnificent blessings from the Prince of Peace. The gentle scenes depicted on Christmas cards are nothing compared to the real scenes that Christ has won for you who love him. No vision ever brought, no ear has ever caught such great glory. You need to sit down by yourself and with your family. Sit down for a victorious council of war, making your plans today to derive God's greatest blessings from the coming season. Your strategy for December must include times of quiet and thoughtful togetherness. Your strategy must have time of devotion, for without the sword of the Spirit, without the Word of God, how shall you conquer? Your strategy will certainly include prayer. Prayer to the conquering Christ that he take not his Holy Spirit from you, but rather restore these December days the joy of your salvation. As you sit to plan the greatest spiritual benefits for the coming weeks, do so with the confidence of victory. The babe of the manger will help you win your battles. He who has begun his good work in you will bring it to joyous completion. You will be more than conquerors through Christ who loves you. Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, come. I open wide my heart, your home. Oh, enter with your radiant grace. On my life's pattern, shine your face and let your Holy Spirit guide to gracious vistas far and wide. Our God, we praise your name forevermore the same. Amen.